In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A young boy came into the church on Christmas and walked over to the nativity scene up front. As he studied the various porcelain figures in the little rough wooden shed, he found the familiar Mary and Joseph, the little baby Jesus in a manger, of course, a shepherd, some animals, and even three wise men bearing gifts. But as he continued to look, he saw an angel and wondered, why was an angel needed there? What was it doing? Was it just another decoration? A way to show some heavenly splendor in the midst of such rustic scene? This angel was none of that. This angel comes as a heavenly messenger with a simple but powerful word straight from the Almighty God. The message this time involves a sign. A sign to reveal, to guide, and to give hope. The angel brings hope in a sign, telling the shepherds where they might find the promised Savior and where we might find God's enduring presence among us. Where we might find God's enduring presence among us. Technically, this angel in that nativity scene appeared out in the field to the shepherds, along with the entire multitude of the heavenly host. But its place around the manger helps us to remind of its important announcement. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. What an honor to bear that message. And what a surprise, especially that God would make such an announcement to simple and often despised shepherds. But where would this man find such an infant in all the city of David? How could they find him? What would such a great person look like that an angel announced him? Would he be in a palace? Would they see him surrounded by powerful armies protecting him? Would his crib be shining in the darkness with a halo around his head? If God had indeed come among them, how would they know? So the angel gives them a sign. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Hope is kept alive if only we have direction. If we know where we are going, if we know where will we find what we need to find, if we are shown where God is at work. The Gospels have numerous signs that our Lord gave to bear witness regarding who he was and why he came. He changed water into wine. He healed people. He fed 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He walked on water. He even raised his friend Lazarus from the grave. All these and many others are signs that God is active in Jesus, that the kingdom of God has come to our time and space. But when the people of Jesus' time, the Jews, demand a sign from him, it's obvious they want something else, something different. So Jesus points them to the crucifixion and resurrection, the true signs of God's love and work. But they don't understand. They don't want that sign. People often miss the real sign and claim they will not believe until they see signs and wonders. The sign is stood before them, but they always seem to be looking beyond it. Always looking for more. His own people, they did not receive him. Part of this came from the fact that the sign from heaven was surprisingly simple and ordinary. For Jesus came as one of us. And as the shepherds prepared to leave their flocks and head out to Bethlehem, we wonder who would look for a newborn child in a manger as a great sign of God. How many would pass right by without a single notice? How many today still look for signs and wonders to assure them of God's work and presence, and miss the one sure sign of where we find him? So God sends an angel, his personal heavenly messenger, to show them that this is where God will reveal himself. The angel will speak with God's own authority that they should look nowhere else, but see in the face of this ordinary little one the very Savior of the world, the Messiah, God in human flesh. And this sign would be good news of great joy to those who found it. The shepherds would head off to Bethlehem to tell the world of the sign, and many wondered and marveled at what they told them. And the shepherds went back to their work, changed men. The Gospel of Luke tells us that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They had seen God's given sign. In faith, they see it. God among them. They know that as unbelievable as it might seem to some, this tiny little baby will one day grow to become the deliverer of the world from sin, death, and the power of the hell. That they may not yet grasp how he will accomplish this, but they know he will deliver them because God's messenger proclaim it and faith accept it. And now they have true hope. So many in our world today wonder where God is or where to find hope. So much of what we live in our lives feels godless and forsaken. And because God so often appears hidden under suffering, people are distracted by the evil and hardship and only can see darkness and emptiness. Because God reveals himself in common ways, they are put off and wait for another more impressive and convincing sign. The baby in a manger becomes the man hanging from the cross. A baby, one look weak and helpless. A man on a cross, looking weaker and more helpless. neither a very impressive sign. So people see the sign, but they see it apart from the message from heaven, apart from the heavenly messenger sent by God. Water without the word of God is only water. But combined with God's word, it's a saving power. Any sign apart from the divine word leaves us looking for more and leaves us lost. To have real hope, we must have the assurance of God's presence in Christ. We must be able to find Jesus in the midst of our broken world, a common world where God's presence is not always immediate obvious. We must be able to find him through the fog of doubt and evil deceptions. We must be able to see him despite our fears and our hesitation to believe the seeming impossible. But we must also listen to the message of heaven as we see the sign the messenger reveals. It's interesting that in the book of Revelation, God calls the pastors who proclaim his word angels, or messengers of his heavenly sign. The messenger in the pulpit may seem ordinary or not so different from us. Well, maybe he speaks a little funny. But listen to the words God has commissioned him to share. Listen to the angel. Look past the man. As you hold within your hands the very body of Christ crucified in the bread you eat, and as your lips taste the very blood Christ shed on the cross in the wine you drink, you see again the sign that the angel revealed. God made flesh. This is the same one who once laid in a manger newly born. This is the true presence of God who has come not just to earth, not just to Bethlehem, but to our space and our time, wrapped in our very human flesh, in our hands, and on our lips, and on our ears. Where is God? He is here among us, where the angel said he would be. The sign of the word made flesh. And that, again, is the heart of hope. Hope looks to the future. It does not remain in the present or lost in the past. What we have seen and heard throughout another Advent and Christmas season will provide a true light for the days to come. And because it's anchored in the certain promises of our holy God, hope can never be disappointed. Hope endures, even in the worst of times. It endures because it is Christ, the eternal Son of God, revealed before us to see, to hear, to taste, and to worship. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.